We are shifting our series. We have been in the book of Proverbs, Two Paths. Well, you notice from our new bulletin and from the topic that we have switched from Proverbs to Psalms. And for the summer, we're going to be doing a series, Psalms That Have Shaped Us. And several of us as pastors on the adult ministry team will share with you some of the Psalms that have been most meaningful to us. Today we are going to look at the 23rd Psalm. Do you ever wish that you had someone in your life who would just take care of you? That you could go off duty and they would just take care of things. They take care of everything you need. Do you ever wish you had somebody that would protect you, provide for you, and guide you? King David wanted that, and King David felt that way. King David, the premier psalmist of the Hebrew Scriptures, jotted what is probably the most beloved psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. And in it, King David expresses the heart of a shepherd king as he reflects on his relationship with Yahweh, whom David relates to as his shepherd. In this intimate and personal reflection of his relationship, the psalmist compares his life to a sheep and the shepherd who is tending his sheep. Shepherding in this Middle Eastern culture is different than shepherding possibly in the United States. These shepherds live with their sheep. They know them by name, and the sheep have a unique connection with the shepherd because when they are led out of this huge pen in which several flocks of sheep are, the shepherd who has his sheep walks out singing or saying something, and his sheep only follow him. The other sheep stay until they hear the voice of their shepherd. It's this shepherd-sheep relationship in this personal reflection, intimate moment that Psalmist David compares himself to a sheep and Yahweh as his shepherd. Problem with teaching this psalm is that it's like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, everybody's heard it. How many times have you been to a funeral and this is the psalm that they do? And it's certainly appropriate for that. But David wrote it as a shepherd for our lives as we journey through the difficult places that life leads us. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23, and we'll read this psalm together, and then we will evaluate, dissect it, try to see if we can understand fully what David says. First thing he says is that the Lord is personal, but let's read the psalm together first of all. Psalm 23, in the superscription, it says it's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we begin this psalm, the first thing we see is that the psalmist describes his shepherd in a very personal way. Notice the very first part of verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." When they thought of God in the Old Testament, they often thought of this inaccessible power of creating, the individual created the universe. David has a completely fresh take on his relationship with God. David refers to him as the Lord. If you'll notice in your copy of Scripture, Lord, it should be all in caps. And that's an indication that it is the translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh is that name that God revealed to Moses when Moses says, "I'm going to go back to the people of Israel. Who shall I say sent me?" And the Lord said to him from the burning bush, I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you to them. Yahweh, the eternal covenant-keeping God of the universe. And so when David is reflecting about his relationship with this shepherd who is his guardian, this, and he is the sheep of them, Yahweh is that one who personally provides and keeps his covenant. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, the nation of Israel had been shepherds. That had been their trade. And God provided a personal relationship with them based on the Abrahamic covenant. The shepherd of David's life, as David also was a shepherd, had made a personal commitment to this nation to protect them, to guide them, to lead them to his purposes. He committed himself to maintain that direction. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. The covenant that God made with Israel demonstrated that commitment of personal relationship. That David embraced Yahweh is offered in the phrase, my. My here is not a possessive, he's my shepherd, like he's mine and he's not yours. Our children grew up, we lived next door to Bobby and Valerie Ryan, and they had their oldest daughter, Allison. We had our youngest daughter, Mindy. And at young ages, when they would invite them over, they were very possessive of their toys. And so if Allison saw Mindy coming over, no, these are mine. These are mine. Or if Mindy came over, no, these are mine. That's not the way he's using this. When he says the Lord is my shepherd, he doesn't mean he's mine and he's not yours. He's mine in the sense of a personal relationship. It's like you'd talk about, yeah, she's my mother. Irene is my mother. We have a relationship. We have a connection. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, is David's personal shepherd. Now, just to let that kind of sink in for a minute. The Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He loves me. He tends me. He cares for me. He watches over me. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that cares about me more than anyone else. He's not stating that he owns. David's not stating that he owns God or that somehow God is his unique property, but that he is one of Yahweh's sheep. David knew the deep connection a shepherd had with his sheep in the Middle East, especially the Middle Eastern culture. The shepherd deeply cared for his sheep, and David counted himself fortunate to be one of Yahweh's flock. I was in India just this last November, and there was a fellow that teaches on the staff of ACA who's a retired missionary. He'd been a missionary in Iran, and he said it was an amazing sight in Iran to be around the shepherding people of Iran in that Middle Eastern culture, those Iranian shepherds, these Middle Eastern shepherds, much like David would have been, much like David was aware of. He said they would keep all of their sheep in a big pen. But the shepherd in the morning would come and he would start either singing a little tune or saying some kind of little thing. That's my interpretation of Iranian, okay? And as he walked out of that pen, only his sheep followed him. And the rest of the sheep stayed in the pen until their shepherd came by. And he could discern the voice of the sheep. David knew the intimate relationship that a Middle Eastern shepherd had with his sheep. And for him to say, Yahweh is my shepherd, was one of the deepest reflections, one of the deepest expressions of care that he could think of. He had a relationship with a shepherd that knew his name and that he followed when he heard his voice. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd dearly cared for his sheep in that Middle Eastern culture. And David counted himself fortunate to be one of God's, Yahweh's flock. Not only, though, in verse 1 do we have the fact that he's a personal shepherd, he's also a shepherd who provides. He's a shepherd that provides our needs. Notice in the second part of verse 1, he says, The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we see the phrase, I shall not want, what it means is I don't have any needs. When the shepherd, when my shepherd is Yahweh, when he is protecting me, when he is leading me, when he is guiding me, when I'm walking with him as my shepherd, I don't have any needs. He said, wait a minute, Reggie, what, really? You don't have any needs? Notice what he says, I shall not want, I shall not have, I don't have needs. And you think, well, what do we need? This passage would say there's not a need that Yahweh doesn't provide. You may say, Reggie, I have a lot of needs, and he's not seeming to come through. I need more money. I need a better mate. I need more well-behaved children. I need better preachers. You know, I got a lot of needs. Really? This passage says there's not a need that Shepherd Yahweh doesn't meet. The deepest, most real need we have is what? It's a relationship with him. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 25, a different psalmist, Asaph, wrote this. Asaph had been troubled. He'd been troubled because he said, God, surely you're good to Israel, to those who are the pure in heart. But as for me, my steps came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped because I became envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, he said, God, you said you're good to me. I'm not getting any of the goodies. This wicked guy over here, he has everything. He doesn't have any pain in his death. His eye bulges from fatness. His mouth parades in the earth, and he never has any consequences to his arrogance. And me, I wake up, and it seems like every morning you're disciplining me. You're chastening me. What's the deal, God? It wasn't until he came to the tabernacle of God he perceived their end. And he perceived the reality of his life. And at the end of this psalm, he wrote this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire no one on the earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God always protects my heart and gives me stability. Yes, look, those who are far from you die. You destroy everyone who's unfaithful to you. But as for me, notice this phrase. The presence of God, or God's presence, is all I need. Now just look at that verse. God's presence is all I need. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter as I declare to you the things that you have done. That's from the Net Bible translation. Notice verse 28. As for me, God's presence is all I need. I want you to do a little exercise with me in your mind. If I only had blank, then I'd be content. If I only had more money, better mate, better behaved children, nicer home, better preacher, what would it take to make you happy? Some people say, well, God's not committed to our happiness. He's committed to our holiness. I believe that's true. But I believe that if we understand that he wants to meet our deepest need with himself, then happiness will be ours. That's what he said. He said, God, surely you're good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And then when he realized, as for me, the presence of God is all I need. Let me ask you, what are you trying to fill your life up with that only God can satisfy? The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. I don't have anything that he doesn't meet. Do I have some things that I desire, and are those desires legitimate and good? Better marriages, better kids, health, better health? Sure, those are great desires. It's appropriate for us to pray for them. But what do we need? What do you need? What did David need that only God met? That David said, I shall not want. The need our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Shepherd meets is that he fills the emptiness of our lives with himself. When you end this life, if you know Christ, what do you have? What do you have? If you know Christ, you end this life, what do you take with you? You have this relationship with Him that goes forever. He is the only one we need to satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. We have some desires and they're legitimate, but they can never do what He does at the deepest part of our heart. And that's why David, as he meditates and thinks about his relationship with the Lord is my shepherd. I have no needs that He doesn't meet because He's all that I need. Now, I just want to ask, is that true for you? Is He the one that meets your deepest emptiness? Is He the one that meets your deepest longings? And while it's not wrong to want some other things, to need other things other than Him, is to put something in the place that only He was designed to fill and that He was designed to satisfy. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, verse 2. He leads me beside still waters. I don't know a lot about sheep, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm a big shepherdologist, okay? But I did some reading. And one of the things that they say about sheep is that if sheep are scared or if sheep are nervous or anxious about something, they won't lie down. It's only when they are assured that everything is okay that they'll lie down. Notice verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, His sheep have such confidence in His provision, that He makes them feel safe. When we think about our needs, when we think about meeting our needs, He says, my shepherd makes me feel safe. He leads me to green pastures. He says, I lie down. How does the Lord meet our deepest need? It's interesting, isn't it? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all shepherds. Nation of Israel went to Egypt. They put them in a different part of Egypt because they didn't like shepherds. They go back to the promised land. God eventually leads them there. And David's family was characterized, or their occupation was a shepherding family. And then fast forward several hundred years to the son of David, Jesus Christ. Notice what he describes himself as. He describes himself as a good shepherd to provide abundantly for the life of his sheep. In John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, what do we need? Well, we need the presence of the living God. We need Him to be our shepherd. The way we have that is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came as the epitome of the good shepherd, and He laid down His life for you and me by dying on the cross and rising again, that whoever places their faith in Him has everlasting life. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So here's the question. If you're going to have this kind of stability with the heavenly shepherd, you have to have a relationship with the heavenly shepherd. And Jesus says it's so simple that if you will hear His voice and follow Him, He will give you eternal life and you will never, ever, 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 ever perish. And not only that, I will hold you and no one will snatch you out of my hand. When He died at the cross and rose again, He did that for your sins and mine. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, never believed that when He died at the cross and rose again that He did that for you, then that's what it means to hear His voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I shall give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. See, you need a shepherd. Whether you know it or not, you don't need stuff. You don't need more of this world. Maybe nice. It may make your life comfortable. It may make your life more complicated. But what you need is Him. And He's the one that came to provide for your sinfulness, to provide you with a relationship with a shepherd so that you are never out of the care or out of the control or out of the security of His grip. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. The Father who's given them to me, He goes on to say, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you followed Him by realizing your sinfulness and trusting Him that He did what you couldn't do by dying and rising in your place? Do that today. You see, this shepherd that David knows provides protection and care. They need a place to refuel and refresh. Look again at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. They won't lie down if they're nervous and afraid. And here this shepherd takes them to a lush meadow. And because of their trust in His provision and His protection, they're able to lie down and enjoy what He's provided. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep do not like running water. Fast running creeks or streams or rivers scare them, because if they were to fall in, their wool would get soaked and they would drown. They don't like to get close to running water. And so this shepherd leads them by quiet streams so that they can walk up and they can get the drink that they need. Notice the next part. It says, He restores my soul. He refreshes me. You ever been out in the yard doing yard work or mowing on a hot day? Your wife or your kid brings you a water bottle or a cup, or and it's just kind of got that moisture on the outside, and you can see it's going, drink it, and you think, wow, man. Notice what he says. He restores my soul. He refreshes me. Now, let me tell you how he does that. You know how he does that? When you just take some time to be alone with the shepherd. The shepherd wants to do that for you, but he wants you to take some time just to let him refresh you. The implication here is I need to be refreshed. Any hereby here need to be refreshed? Sure. It's an admission. Lord, I need you to do things for me that I can't do. I need you to give me a safe place to lie down in your arms and know that I'm fed and that I'm cared for and that I'm feeding on your person and on your truth and that you're refreshing me and you're giving me a drink and you're restoring me for the ability to face another day, for the ability to go through this life. Sheep need a place to refuel and refresh. David's shepherd, our shepherd, provides us with the opportunity to refuel and refresh. Notice the very last part. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Paths of righteousness mean right paths. If I am yielding my life to Him, following Him as the shepherd, as I listen to His voice, He's not going to lead me into unhealthy, unrighteous paths. He's going to lead me to make right decisions. He's going to lead me to make the decisions that would please Him. And then if you'll notice the last part, it says, for His namesake. He's all about showing Himself to be the great shepherd. And so when we pursue life, listening to His voice, letting Him direct us, letting Him have control of our lives as our Lord, and we follow Him because we listen to His voice, then He is honored by our life. He's a personal shepherd, and He's a shepherd that provides, but He's also a shepherd who protects. Notice in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. See, the divine shepherd is a shepherd who protects us as he leads. He leads us in right paths. As we follow Him, He leads us to do the things that protect us, that please Him. and he protects us from the things that we fear. Notice this phrase in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That phrase is literally, "though I walk through the valley of deep darkness." And the idea is that this shepherd is leading his sheep in a path, and now they're about to go through a valley that is not very distinct. It seems to be covered over with shadows and darkness, and you really can't see too far ahead. All you can kind of see are your feet in front of you, but you're trusting that your shepherd is walking ahead of you in that valley of deep darkness. See, the valley of deep darkness is really a valley of what you fear. Anybody here got any fears? Anybody here got any fears? Maybe you fear death. Maybe some of you fear that someday you're going to die. And even though I tell you, well, you don't have to worry about it because it's going to happen, that probably doesn't absolve or do away with your fear. Maybe it's the fear of death of a loved one as you're watching them struggle for life. What do you fear? Is your dark valley the fear of failure, or the fear of rejection, or the fear of inadequacy? Fear that you won't live up to your family standards for you because you're the golden child. Or fear that your children won't live up to what you desire because you're the golden family. What do you fear? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil." See, I think we have to come to grips with what we fear. I will fear no evil. The valley of dark shadows is literally the valley of deep death. What do you fear? When we walk with our shepherd, we do not have to fear. We can acknowledge, "Lord, I'm fearful, but I'm giving that fear to you." But notice what he says. He says, "I will fear no evil." What do you fear? Maybe you fear that your child will never turn around their life. Maybe they're headed in a bad path and they'll never turn their life around to go God's way. It's a legitimate concern. Are you fearful? When you walk with the shepherd, you can trust that he will hold you through life's disappointments. Maybe you're in a marriage that's not all that you dreamed it would be, and you fear that you're trapped. The shepherd leads us through that valley of deep darkness, reassuring us that he is with us. Notice the next part of that verse. "I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." In other words, the relationship that David had with the heavenly shepherd was so personal that he walked with him so that when he came upon fearful circumstances, he didn't have to succumb to them because he could say, "Lord, even though I fear these, you are with me. You're with me, and I don't have to fear." What do you fear? Some of us fear our exposure of our failures. Some of us fear being rejected. That's one of my big ones. What do you fear? Let's just do this. In your heart, just say, "Lord, you're my shepherd, and I want you to help me with whatever it is you fear. I want you to help me with whatever it is that tends to come." Where does fear come from? Y'all know where fear comes from? Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? God created this wonderful place. They said, "Don't eat this fruit." And one day Eve was there and serpent was talking to him, and Adam standing over there with his mouth shut. And she's just kind of listening, and all of a sudden she thinks, okay. And she eats and she gives to him and he eats. It's called Adam's sin. And at that moment they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed, and they covered themselves with leaves. And then they heard God's voice coming in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. It was the biblical establishment of camo. They had these leaves on them, and they're laying there hoping God doesn't see them. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" And you know why he said that? He said that because Adam needed to come awake to the context of his life. And Adam's first words out of his mouth were, do you remember? I was afraid and I hid myself. Afraid of exposure of my failure, afraid of your rejection, afraid of what was coming next, that I'd somehow let you down, and therefore I hid myself. When we are covered with, when we are controlled by fear, we cover ourselves up so somebody else won't see us. Because if they ever saw us the way we were, they would reject us. If they ever see us the way we are. And he was afraid God would look at him and reject him. As a result of sin, we have primary motivation of fear. The only thing that throws out fear is the truth of God's love and the relationship that he provides. And that's what David says here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, whatever my fear is, it could be the fear of losing a loved one to death. It could be the fear of failure. It could be the fear of a kid that won't turn around. It could be a fear of a marriage that'll never get better. It could be the fear of anything, your death, your sickness, your illness. He says, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Why can we be not fearful in a world with so much pain, so much hurt? Because he's with us. The presence of our shepherd provides us with the courage to face every fear. Every fear. What are you afraid of? I am with you, the divine shepherd says. Jesus says, I hold you and I never let you go. And more than that, the Father holds you and no one can snatch you out of his hand. You are safe in the shepherd's hand to get everything you want in this world. No, but to have him hold you through whatever you face. Because the deepest reality is a relationship with him. He provides us with the courage to face every fear. What fear do you need to face? Knowing that he's with you. Notice in verse 4, it says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. The staff was that shepherd's crook that he could lift the sheep out of a bad place if he'd stumbled on a hillside. And that rod is that thing that he would tap the sheep to keep them on the path, or that he could use to fight off the attackers that would come. He says, I don't have to fear because you're with me and I can trust that you will protect me through whatever I face. He protects us from those enemies who are waiting to attack us. Look at that in verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The idea is that he's led these sheep out into a plain, and around the plain in those darker areas are the wolves, the predators that would want to get them, but they don't come because the shepherd's there. He's got a rod and he's got a staff and he's going to protect the sheep. And so he has this wonderful lush meadow and he says, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it because I am here and I am on duty. Now sometimes I know you feel like God went off duty. He didn't go off duty. And whatever you fear, he can help you face. He can walk you through it. He protects us from those enemies that want to attack us. And he stays close to the enemy, to us, to protect us from the enemies of our soul. Look at the phrases, your rod and your staff. Those provide protection and direction. Our shepherd uses his strength and guidance to protect us from the enemies who would seek to destroy us. Do you feel like your life is being destroyed and attacked? You have a shepherd, a divine shepherd who says, I'm going to hold you. Nothing's ever going to separate you from me. We're always going to be protected by him. Now, does that mean that sometimes things hurt? No, things are going to hurt, but they're not going to destroy because we're held by him. Notice in verse 5, he says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." In that culture, if you had an honored guest, one of the things you do, you would anoint their head with oil. That was a symbol of honor. And your cup running over would be that they filled your cup to the full. And David is likening his relationship of God with a safe place to enjoy life and to grow and to pursue God's purposes. And he's anointed. God has given him a place of special protection. And he's provided a place for David to enjoy the goodness of God's life. See that phrase, "my cup runs over"? I think that's a statement of how God's blessed him. I read a book at somebody's, one of the ladies here asked me to read a book, and I've referred to it before, called A Thousand Gifts by Ann Voskamp. Ann Voskamp lost a sister to a farming accident when she was a little girl. And she had some other hardships in her life. And this friend challenged her to write a list of 1,000 gifts. Just when a gift came into her mind, something that God had done, and her life was transformed by focusing on the gifts that God gave. Sometimes those gifts were in the midst of a hardship, and she saw through the hardship to the gift that God was giving her in that experience. My cup overflows. Got a tough space in your life? God is working in the midst of that for good in ways that only He can. He's giving us His goodness. Do you realize that it's only when we realize that we don't have anyone else to turn to that we realize the intimacy that He provides? Do you realize that sometimes God knocks all the props out from under your life so that you will be forced to fall on Him? Because that's the only safe place. There's no safety anywhere else other than in a relationship with Him. And what He will do is hold us and never let us go. And He will minister to our wounds. He will minister to our heart. He will restore our soul. Because He's a God that works for us. In verse 6, not only is He a God who is personal, a God who provides, a God who protects, He's also a God who has a purpose for our lives. Look at verse 6. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The ideas of goodness and mercy. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 73. "Surely God's good to those who are pure in heart." God's good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And he was translating God's goodness based upon all the gifts of God. But as he processed through that and he saw this wicked person getting what he thought the good things were, then he realized that the good thing that he had was a relationship with God. Surely goodness and mercy. The word for mercy here is loyal love or loyalty love. If I have a relationship with a shepherd, his loyalty is going to pursue me. His goodness is going to surround me. And in the midst of the hardest circumstances, he is in my life like a beacon of light, reminding me that this life is not all there is. That there is more, and I am with you, and I will see you through whatever you face. Surely goodness and loyalty, love, shall follow me all the days of my life. And notice the last part. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our shepherd is purposeful. He provides us with an eternal dwelling. Our shepherd is providing us with a place where we can dwell with him forever. Our shepherd provides us with an eternal dwelling with him. David had the confidence that not only would God walk with him through this life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, but also that there was a certain future for him with the Lord in eternity. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord doesn't necessarily refer to the tabernacle, which was where they worship God in David's day, or ultimately the temple that they worship God in Solomon's day and beyond. He was looking beyond that to a heavenly place. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because you're my shepherd. And I've placed my faith in you, and you are holding me. Jesus said it this way. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, a personalized place with him where he is in heaven. And he says, if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also in this place that I have provided for you. About 20 years ago, I lost my grandmother, Nana, my mom's mom. She was a woman that loved Christ, loved the Lord, loved me. She eventually lived to see her prayers rewarded as God turned my life around. And I had the honor and privilege of doing her funeral about 20 years ago. And do you know what even though I miss her and as I talk to you about her now, my eyes tear up, do you know what the deep comfort is that I have? That her shepherd was the good shepherd. And that she had placed her faith in him. And that he prepared a place for her. And he came and he took her to himself. To that place that he had prepared. My grandmother and grandfather on my father's side, Mama and Daddy Co, were two of the most sweet, caring people. They died while I was in college. And as much as I can think about them and miss them and wish that I could hear their voices, that I could sit across the table and play dominoes with them and love them, I'm never going to get to do that. But do you know what comforts me? Is that Jesus prepared a place for them. And they are dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Becca's sweet dad, Bob Homeyer, died about 12 years ago. Missed getting to see his granddaughter's weddings. Got to live to his 50th wedding anniversary and then passed in February of 2000. And we loved Bob Homeyer. And do you know what comforts us in those days and minutes and those feelings of loss? Is that he dwells in the house of the Lord forever because the Lord was his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the last thing David says is, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you for a place, a house. And when I come to get you, I'm going to take you to that place. You lost a loved one and you miss them. If they knew the Lord, it's not over. If they knew the Lord, they are safe. They are protected. They are in a place that he prepared. Not only did he prepare, but he purposefully came and got them for that place at the right time. To us, it may not seem like the right time, but for him, it was. Dads, I want to tell you something. Next Sunday's Father's Day. You want to give a gift to your family as a father? Share with them why they can have that joy of knowing that when you leave this world, you'll spend forever in the place Jesus prepared because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Share that with them. I'm going to promise you. That when you leave this world, it'll mean more to them than whatever you left them financially. that you left a legacy and a reality of a relationship where you are now safe, and if they know him, they will be rejoined to you. A psalm of David. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, is my shepherd. He nurtures my life. He leads my life. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I have no needs that he doesn't meet. He makes me to lie down in green pastures because I am safe. He leads me beside quiet waters because he knows what I fear. He restores my soul and refreshes me from the inside out. He leads me in right paths for his namesake so that he will be honored. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, that darkness of fear and anxiety and worry, I fear no evil. For you, my shepherd, are with me. Your rod and staff give me comfort and protection and guidance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and they cannot get to me because you are providing this banquet of life. And you anoint me. You give me a special relationship. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I'm blessed. Surely goodness and mercy, loyal love and your goodness follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you say that? Is he your shepherd? Let him be. If you've trusted him as your Savior, just come and say, Lord, I'm a dumb sheep. I tend to wander, and I want you to guide me and lead me. I need you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for yourself today. Thank you for the shepherd that you are, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, for you, Lord, who are the shepherd, Yahweh, the shepherd of Israel, but also the shepherd of our hearts and lives. Thank you that you provide us all that we need. If anyone here has never trusted in you as Savior, may they come into that relationship. May they hear your voice and follow you and allow you to give them eternal life so that they will never perish. And Father, for those of us that have done that, we thank you that you never let us go. You provide for our needs. You provide for our hearts. You provide for our lives. Father, there are a lot of things we want in this life, but there's only one thing we really need. And that's a relationship with you in dependence upon you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.